Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Derek, Old School Fournier, coming to you live from Studio 76 in Valrico, Florida. Welcome to whatthebuck.net. We are live and direct tonight, coming to you from our home studio. I've got some new gear here. We've got all sorts of craziness happening. As you guys know, this is our off-season as well. Hopefully things are going to work well. We've got some folks over in the chat room coming in, which is great. If you guys in the chat room can help me out with some feedback about how the levels are sounding over there, that would be great. We also do not have any of our new bumper music yet. We're going to work with Franco and make sure that we get that stuff over as soon as possible. Because once we get that, then you will not have to hear me just talking from the beginning. So we'll have some professional bumper music, which will liven things up as well. We've got an action-packed show for you tonight. We have no guests planned. We will be having Kurt Creel Buckshot calling in to talk about a big event we got coming up. But before we get that going, I want to welcome you to the podcast. Also point out a couple things I've got going on that are a little bit new. That if you've not picked up on them yet, you should probably pay attention to, because they're a little bit of fun. I'm not sure how many more training camp sessions I'll be able to get to, but even during the regular season, I think I'll be using this technology. We talked about it a little bit in passing. It's called Periscope, and it's a live video broadcast application. Thank you, King Brutal. I appreciate the volume is low feedback. I'll try and amp that up a little bit for you. Periscope essentially lets you live stream your whatever you want to live stream, and we did that some from training camp the last couple of days, and I was able to save those audio recordings as well and put those out on YouTube. So my YouTube channel, that many of you actually came to What the Buck through the YouTube channel ages ago, I was able to upload those videos to YouTube in case you miss them. Now the quality of Periscope is not great, but the immediacy is great. So it's at What the Buck on Periscope. It's an app you can load on your iPhone or on your Android phone. And then when I'm broadcasting, you'll get a notification. And there's a bunch of people out there doing great stuff. In fact, Greg Allman, I want to give a big kudos to Greg Allman, because I think he was actually the first one to leverage Periscope from training camp. So I know Pewter Reporter's on there now. I talked to Mark Cook, and he started using that, which is great. And it's a good way for you folks who are out of town to get a chance to see what's going on. So with regards to that, the YouTube channel, I'm trying to post across to the website as well. You've noticed that we've got our Season 10 logo going. If you guys don't know what that means, this is our 10th season of What the Buck. Because of you guys, we've been around now for 9 complete seasons, this one being our 10th, and it is amazing that that is true. So we're going to be taking advantage of that this year and kind of doing some new things. We got new people stepping into some great roles, and Kurt's one of those who's a great example of that, because he's taking over logistics of events, and I'll tell you what, he is fucking amazing at it. He's going to talk to you about our kickoff party. We'll have him call in at about 10 past the hour. I know he's already on Skype. But until we get to there, I want to remind you folks, from a sponsorship perspective, if you have companies who may want to sponsor, please do let them know to hit us up at questions@whatthebuck.net. We are open for sponsorship. We're talking to our previous sponsors. We're trying to get things in line. And you may ask yourself, why are they doing this? Is this a for-profit activity? What's going on? Derek used to do this all out of passion, blah, blah, blah. No, I assure you, my bank account will show you this is not a for-profit activity. But doing the things we do is not free. Additionally, with the advent of What the Buck Really Matters, our 501c3, we do a ton of charitable work, as you hear us talk about. And I'm going to talk about an award that we received recently. And by we, I mean Cheryl Spent Stewart. You guys know Spent. She received on behalf of What the Buck Really Matters and the work that she kind of, you know, kicked off, and all of the rest of us have jumped in and assisted with. The charitable work requires us to have a foundation. We have to have money to get things going and get things moving. So that's why our kickoff party has become so instrumental each year, because it gives us operating capital to get our tailgates funded, as well as collect school supplies, et cetera. And I don't want to steal Kurt's thunder, so I'll let him talk about the details of that. But sponsorships are there. The prices are unchanged. If you guys have interest in that, let me know. We'll post that information about sponsorships as well. Feedback from you guys. Coming into the 10th season, listen, you guys know I'm an asshole. I've been an asshole since the first season. But one thing I am is self-aware. If there are things that we could do better, if there are things that we could expand with, we've got, you know, terrific articles from Patches getting out there. We'd love to get those things put out all over the place, because we think he's writing some great content. We're going to try and get back into the immediacy using Periscope and YouTube. The show schedule will be more solidified now that we're into the regular season, so hopefully you guys will be able to count on that. We're going to be bringing great guests to you throughout the year, as well as additional people on the mic and on the camera. God knows they could be better looking than me, trying to get you the kind of content that brought you here initially. This is a tough year for me, because this is season 10, and as a fan, this is a down year for me. I got to be honest with you. I am not in a great place, not because I don't think the team is talented, not because I don't think that we have a great year in front of us, but just because after 9 complete seasons of seeing behind the curtain, it has changed my perspective on the game. That's not your fault. That is not going to be something that I want to impact you, but it will change the way that I discuss the game, and you guys are going to pick up on it, because you're all really fucking smart, and you've been listening to me for 9 years. So we need some fresh blood. So if you would like to help out, let us know. Let us know how you can help. Let us know how these things go. Now, a couple of announcements I want to mention as well. We were in Canton, Ohio, as you guys are aware, at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you're also aware, I think, in passing at least, that I am a member as well as Spent as a member, and ATL Bucks Mark, Tim the Captain, Big Nasty, as well as Melody Figurski and the Pillow Lady. There are a number of fans who have been enshrined in the Pro Football Ultimate Fans Association. It's a heck of an honor to be enshrined. We have fans from, I think, 30 of the 32 teams in this group. And it really takes into consideration the advocacy and advancement of sportsmanship towards other fans, the focus on the game itself, on football, obviously, and on passion, as well as on charitable activities. And I think we have those in spades. We were honored this year to nominate someone you guys should know, Matt Bucknuts Algieri. And I am proud to say that he flew through with flying colors. It is a non-trivial process to go through, inquiring essays and interviews remotely, and then going to Canton and running a gauntlet, more or less, in front of a bunch of really amazing super fans up there in Canton while you're doing your charity work and doing all the work around the Hall of Fame activities, which we do contribute significantly to, up to and including the party that happens at Canton, the first ball, which is an activity that takes the ball all the way through the park leading up to the first steps of the Hall of Fame, as well as the Hall of Fame parade, which we participated in our 12-man float. So Matt did a great job, represented well as always, and was enshrined in the PFUFA group, and will receive his coin directly. So big congratulations to Bucknuts. While we were there, though, there was a surprise. And I know you guys are like, hey, let's talk about Buck stuff. We'll get there. This is a family thing for us, though. And I know that you guys over in the chat room and you folks listening on the podcast know these names. And so you'll understand why this is important that we talk about them. But there are two really big awards that are given every year via this organization. The President's Award, which is a tremendous award for the group throughout the league who welcomes teams from other welcomes people from other teams, just sort of really represents the ideals of the PFUFA. It's a great, great award. Big John from Cincinnati won that this year. And I'll tell you what, it couldn't have gone to a better guy. The Bengal Bomb Squad are tremendous. We love what they do. The other award, which, you know, you can probably argue which one of these is more important, is the Golden Hog Award. And it's named after the Hoggettes. If you don't know who the Hoggettes are, you haven't been watching football long enough. These were the gentlemen who wore dresses for the Washington Redskins. Sort of a poking of fun at the Hogs, the offensive line for the Redskins, amongst other things. There were a lot of subtext there. Well, while a lot of people got mired or buried in the fact that they wore muumuus to games and sort of in the theater of what was going on, what people lost sight of was that over 30 years, these gentlemen raised $166 million for charity. Now, that's a dramatic pause, ladies and gentlemen. $166 million in charity, just under $6 million a year. That is absolutely taking your platform and rocking it out. So when the Hoggettes decided to hang up the muumuus, which they did, the PFUFA named an award called the Golden Hog, which is to go to the person or group who best represent that spirit of giving, that spirit of charity, which is so important. If you have this opportunity to have a platform, you need to do something with it. We want our players to do it. We want our fans to do it. And as a group, it's been amazing, this group and What the Buck and What the Buck Really Matters has come together to do this. Whether it's money or time, time, talent, or treasure, as a friend of mine used to say, it doesn't matter. And really, a lot of this has come from the heart and soul of Cheryl Stewart. So we were very surprised. We did not have an opportunity to nominate What the Buck Really Matters. We were too busy doing charitable activities, ironically. And the organization saw fit to nominate us. And it was absolutely phenomenal. So big shout out to Spent. If you see her, give her a big hug or a pat on the back or whatever you feel appropriate. But to you guys, to the folks in the What the Buck family and the What the Buck Really Matters family who have helped us do all of these things, who've provided the jeans and the peanut butter and the school supplies and all of these things that we are able to aggregate and give to these folks who need them so much. Thank you guys so damn much for enabling the vision to become reality and then making the reality something that just is unreal to many. So that was the report from Canton. I'm going to leave the Skype line open for Kurt to call in here. Hopefully I'll see this pop up. I've got Windows updates going over like crazy. But Kurt, if you want to call and talk about the kickoff party, then we'll get into training camp. If you guys have questions about training camp, get your questions into the chat room and I will make sure I try and address them. If you've been following Periscope, you know I've been watching now for 2 days. And I'll definitely try and cover what I saw. We'll go over the depth chart And we'll talk, obviously people are going to want to talk about quarterback. We'll talk about quarterback. I want to talk about receiver and running back as well. It's tough to do the lines, but we had some really interesting things going on in the line that I want to discuss. So if you got particular guys you want me to talk about or areas of interest, we will do this like our traditional water cooler show where we talk about each of these things as we iterate through. And after Kurt's call, we'll also take calls from there. I think this is Kurt right here. Mr. Creel.
Yo, what's up?
Hey there, how are you, my friend?
I am well. Congratulations to Cheryl and Matt. Obviously, great news for the What the Buck family. And sorry I had to miss it this year.
No, man, it's absolutely all right, man. Life happens, definitely. So it's one of those things. I want to make sure I get your levels good. You came in on video, and your levels look really good to me. I think we're real close to having this new setup actually pretty well refined. We're going to be doing some cool shit this year. So for those of you who don't know who's on the phone, this is Kurt Creel. I will dick with Manycam to try and get him in a video so you can actually see his handsome smiling face as well.
But our matching headphones.
We do have matching headphones. Beware the bear, as they say. So I'm going to get you in video, Kurt. While I'm doing that, you've got audio live. I'm going to dick with this. Tell people about the kickoff party and about what you've been doing logistically, because goddamn it, you're going to add years to my life that bacon has taken away.
Well, bacon.
Bacon.
I'm hungry. because of Canton being a week late this year and the first preseason game being fairly close behind, we're kind of up against it on the kickoff party this year. If anybody who's been to it before, they know that we've made this huge production and we've had all these entertainment elements and all this big stuff going on. And this year, timing is a little bit tighter for all of us, especially with the Matt and Cheryl stuff going down up in Canton. Of course, want to make sure everybody's up there and all that. So we've kind of taken a little bit of a different track on this year's kickoff party. It's still going to be at the Wing House. It's coming up this Saturday. Obviously, if you're in town, please come by. We're tying it in again with our school supply drive, which kicks off our first charitable event, I guess, of the season is the school supply drive. And then, of course, we've got some of the usual stuff going on, but then some unusual stuff, too. We've got the boat. We've added the DJ this year. The DJ from the tailgates is great. We've added him to the ship for part of the entertainment element. And we're kind of making this a super watch party because – the game is that night. The Minnesota game is that night. So we have the added element there of the game being on, of course, in the Wing House. Food and drink specials, of course, throughout the evening. And then, of course, we've got the What the Buck stuff, the big 10th shirt. First time that that's going to be presented publicly. People will have a chance to buy that. We'll have the 10th patch, which is amazing if it turns out the way the picture that I saw was. So you'll have a chance to be one of the first to have those as well. And then we've got a really unbelievable array of prizes that we're going to be giving away. And we probably don't have time to run them all down now here, but if you've been invited to the event, please go look at the event page. Each day I've been posting a set of prizes. That's how many we have right now. Stuff like Mike Evans autographed footballs. We've got tickets to the Tim McGraw concert. We've got Elder Ford gift certificates for oil changes. We've got massages and we've got raise tickets and an unbelievable. I don't even know if you've seen all the prizes yet. You just got back.
So I haven't.
You've seen them all.
I have not. The beautiful thing is I haven't had to look at a damn thing. What's been happening, guys, is, and I talk about growth, and I want to give, you know, we gave kudos to Spent and to Bucknuts, all deserved. But Buckshot here, like I said, this guy stepping up in this role of event coordinator is fucking phenomenal. I came back and I described this to someone else as what Kurt has been doing is knocking everything out. And then anytime he gets blocked that I need to help him, which is rare because he's usually able to bowl through whatever, he gets a question to me, I unblock him, and then off he goes. So I really don't know what the hell's going on. I'm going to show up when you tell me to, and I'm pretty much going to do whatever the fuck you tell me to do, Kurt.
Well, it's going to be part watch party and part what you used to expect. Are used to expecting from the kickoff party. We have the elements there in place for it to be a party outside of the game, but then we also have that game element there. Kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off of us, to be honest, to entertain people for 6-7 hours in a row. Obviously, people want to see Jameis for, you know, what they're calling a quarter at this point, which is really odd. We'll see if that actually plays out or not. But So people obviously are going to want to see that. That takes a little bit of the pressure off of us. You know, you'll be able to mill about and do all the things that you normally do at a kickoff party. We're not going to have a cornhole tournament. Obviously, we may have a little bit of a weather issue because weather's been really wonky here. But it's still an excuse for all of us to get together for the first time this season. There's a Bucks element there. And then, of course, there's a tailgate element, too. And that's you know, the big things for us. And plus, you can win a bunch of shit. I mean, come on.
So,
there's so much stuff.
So moral to the story is bring your school supplies. Bring a good attitude. We're going to have a great time out there. The pirate ship, the crew of Blackbeard's Revenge is bringing the pirate ship out there. We're going to have a tremendous time. We're also debuting Frank McGill's new Bucks anthem, if I recall.
Oh! That's what I forgot. I forgot about that's what, when I was talking about the ship and the DJ, I totally skipped over Frank. Yeah, the new anthem. He's going to be filming part of the video at the kickoff party. So if you want to be a part of that, that's also going on. Holy crap, forgot about Frank.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of stuff going on, man, and it wouldn't have happened without Kurt and Jay and this whole crew behind the scenes. He's telling us when to show up. We're going to get it going. So if you're here in Tampa, if you're coming in from out of town, get over to the Wing House. It's 8001 West Hillsborough. Is that the right address?
That is correct. 5 o'clock on Saturday. The game is at 7. Get there early. The shirts and the patches, we're going to have a run on those from all indications here that I can see. So you might want to get there. Obviously, you're going to have to get a table too. And we all know that parking sucks at the Wing House. Put on your big boy panties and deal with it. And if you got to walk a block from the Winn-Dixie or whatever, just be prepared. We don't have any fancy like tram system like Busch Gardens or anything. So yeah, you might have to walk a block. Don't park in the Japanese restaurant parking lot because you'll get towed.
Yeah, that's a good message. Don't park in that restaurant. Okay. So Kurt's got the information on that. Kurt, it's great having you there, brother. We'll be talking offline as well. I see you in the chat room. I'll be talking about Jameis as well. Feel free to call back in if you want or chat in the chat room. There's a lot of questions about the quarterback position we're going to try and cover. And to your point about playing a quarter, I think they should play him a quarter, to be honest.
I totally agree. And when they said that, I was pleasantly surprised. Let's rev the engine. What do you want to call it? Use whatever crappy analogy you want. We need to see what we got.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Kurt Buckshot Creel, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be working on a way to get him live more often because you know what? He's actually a radio professional, not a hack like me. So we can get his voice on the air and we can get his face on the air too. So Kurt, take care. Best of the family. And I'll see you in the chat room, brother.
Peace out.
Later. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Kurt Creel. And now, with no further ado, we will be talking about Bucks. I see there's some questions that came across in the chat room already. I want to welcome all the people in the chat room. I see some of our regulars over there. I see Jackie and I see Christine. Bucks Brief is in the house. I got a chance to see Chris today, actually at camp. I'm not sure who signed his. King Brutal, I've seen Steven, Rook, Shuck, JJ, Dakota, the whole crew. I don't think I'm missing it. Jezzy? I'm not sure about the pronunciation there, but good to have you guys over there and three viewers lurking. Viewers, if you want us to know who you are, make sure you grab a handle so we can call you out by name. You podcast listeners, make sure you try and get here for a live show if you can. It's a lot of fun. You can actually interact real time. So from the questions, let me see what we had here. First, we had, is Marpet as good as advertised? So I'm glad this question was asked because no one ever asks about the fat guys. Now, obviously, after last year, one of the things we learned, a powerful lesson was that you have to have a decent line or you are just completely fucked. Now, we went out and went young. Last year, we went old, and it didn't work out very well. This year, we went young, and we're hoping it works out better, right? So we went out there and got some young draft picks. We got the draft picks from the year before. We've got the Logan Mankins, who are a little old in the tooth. The EDSs, who are a little old in the tooth. You know, you've got some guys that have got a little bit of experience. We got the same offensive line coach. So to be honest, I was very concerned about the foundation of this offense being in the hands of the guy who did really by results, let's just say, by results, a relatively crappy job last year. Our offensive line was offensive, to say the least. To answer the question about Ollie Marpet, I tweeted, I think, yesterday at Commish Online, Justin Pawlowski, who was the only guy I heard, read, saw, who knew who the hell Ollie Marpet was. And I think he tweeted today that he was the only guy at Buffalo Wild Wings who stood up and cheered when we drafted him. This guy is a freaking beast. He is an absolute beast. Now, is he going to make rookie mistakes? Yes. He doesn't know all the tricks of the trade yet. He did not play at a top-tier D1 school. That said, ladies and gentlemen, right now, that young man is whipping some ass at training camp. I want to see him out there under real conditions because he's playing good football. Now, as I expand this conversation beyond just Ali Marpet to the offensive line, what I noticed, and I need to see more practice to see if this is a pattern and not just an aberration, I see a lot more power man blocking and a lot less zone. The only guy that I think is actually particularly well-suited for zone blocking is, in some ways, ironically, and only ironic in the way that Alanis Morissette would say ironic, Ali Marpet. The rest of our guys are more well-suited, in my opinion, to power man blocking. Now, they're putting a hat on a hat, and they're getting some blocking in there. There are some holes in practice that are pretty significant, and that is against a front seven that is not necessarily a pushover. Now, I will caveat all of this with last year in training camp, and a couple of you folks were concerned, and I talked to Bucks Princess earlier today, and she's like, wow, you said that they kind of played sloppy, and I'm concerned. You say they don't look very good in camp. Last year in camp, the team looked really goddamn good. Josh McCown looked like a superstar. We were all excited. You know, you got a veteran quarterback, very little mile on his tires. I was a McCown guy, and still, he's a good quarterback. I know you guys want to talk shit about him. The guy can spin the football. We ended up being garbage, right? Absolutely terrible. Now, that terrible two-win season got us Jameis Winston, who we'll talk about. But we also lost, what was it, six games on the last possession. We weren't quite as bad as two losses. Now, if all of a sudden you put an offensive line in there that allows us to run and allows us to protect, it's going to be very interesting. Now, for anyone else in the line, I haven't seen anyone else really pop. They're playing well. I know that Mark Cook from Pewter Report got some footage from one-on-ones today. I think he periscoped those. I did not get a chance to do that because I am not credentialed this year, so I didn't get that for you. But I really want to see here in the first game how this line looks when they're blocking against other guys in other jerseys. Other than no injuries, what we consider a win for the first preseason game as signed. You know, it's funny. I don't get injuries happen. I've been around this long enough to know if you play scared, you're going to get hurt. And that's why, to Kurt's point about Jameis, listen, I'd love to come in here and tell you Jameis Winston is tearing up training camp, that he's throwing the ball all over the field, that he's lighting it up, that he's throwing into small windows, that he looks phenomenal. That's not what I see, guys. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm busting Jameis's balls. Jameis is the future of the franchise, but right now he's not the best thrower of the football in camp. That's Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon is throwing the ball with amazing accuracy, very good velocity, very good location. Mike Glennon is exactly what Mike Glennon is. He is a statue. If he has to move off of the spot, he is no longer useful. Nor is he the future of the franchise, right? I am not arguing for a quarterback controversy, and I'm certainly not going hashtag Glennon mob here. Because you guys know that this is what Mike Glennon is. I think he looks better this year than he did last year. He's continued to grow. He is a tremendous backup quarterback. I don't want him going anywhere. We had a conversation in the stands today where people were thinking about moving him. And I'm like, no, damn all that. I'm not trying to move him anywhere. Now, that said, Jameis Winston can do some amazing things with the football. He definitely seems to have the charisma. The team definitely leads him, or follows him, rather. What I think he's found out is those tight windows he was able to throw into in college are much more tight here in the NFL. The athleticism of the linebackers is significant. So when he tries to squeeze the ball into these windows, these guys are absolutely closing the windows down. That's something he's going to learn. He will learn that by doing it. He will not learn that by sitting on the sideline and protecting himself. Now, as we've transitioned into the quarterback, and we've sort of taken that other question from Signed about what is a win in this first game, we will go into the wide receivers after that for whoever asked that question. I do want to talk about quarterbacks. I mentioned before, Jameis has nice touch. When you get him in the red zone, guys, and I think the Pewter Report busted this story open, I think he had 9 of 11 touchdowns in the red zone a couple of days ago at camp when we were in Canton. He has amazing touch in the red zone. He really does. And that's a great thing. And I see Stephen Thompson in the chat room just said he's a gamer, right? We've used this phrase before. This is the kind of thing that we've talked about. I happen to think that Danny Lansana is one of these guys, though Lansana had a great day of practice today. Lansana last year, Casillas outplayed him every day in training camp. I was there almost every day. Casillas was the better guy in camp. You put Lansana under the lights, and Lansana all of a sudden becomes 30% better. So, I'm not a Jameis follower. I wasn't an FSU guy. But if that's the way he is, then that's great. I'm not concerned yet. It's training camp. He's a rookie quarterback. I don't expect him to come in and light everything up. That doesn't concern me. Bye, Princess Nikki. I see you were able to come in. If you're at the casino, have fun. I saw the word craps, so I'll assume I assume that you're at the casino. Anyway, Jameis has some mechanics things that I don't know from UFSU guys, whether it's common. I'm seeing a lot of slipping in practice when he's in the back step of his drop. He's spreading his feet a little bit too far. I think he's probably trying to set his foundation, which is ironic because his foundation is not that good. He's doing a little bit of arm throwing, which a lot of stronger arm guys do. Josh Freeman did that when he first came into the league. It is easy to correct. I think he will correct both of those. So if you're asking me, am I nervous about the play of Jameis Winston in practice right now? The answer is no. I will tell you the accuracy is not good at this point. Now, what is good on the offensive side of the ball? Dirk Cutter may be a bigger acquisition than Jameis Winston, at least in the first six games. That's not to say that Jameis Winston won't be the biggest pick. But Dirk Cutter, just in what I've seen so far, spacing, route combinations, these sorts of things, is not just head and shoulders, but crotch, torso, and head and shoulders above what we had last year, guys. This guy knows football. So our receivers, if we give our quarterback the time, there will be someone open. It is going to be the case. The design of these plays and even the basic shit that they're installing now is so much better. What was that guy? Factory of Sadness. It's like they're playing a different game. And that is nice to see. Now, when you combine that with the fact that this offensive line, at least in camp, right? We have to see whether this is true come Saturday, seems to be opening up some lines. And listen, for those of you who had already written the epitaph for Doug Martin's career, you might as well start chiseling that off of the tombstone, because Doug Martin looks really fucking good in camp, guys. But so does Charles Sims. I think Doug Martin is the winner here. I think Sims is a great back to follow him up. The back situation is a really interesting one, though. Bobby Rainey and Mike James become the question. Bobby Rainey, we know what we get with him. He's quick. He's small. He's a change of pace guy. He's not Darren Sproles. I know everyone wants him to be Darren Sproles, but he's not. I do not know how Mike James has fallen out of favor. And I don't know that he is. That's not to say he's in anyone's doghouse, but he's the guy that seems to be on the bubble, and I sure as hell don't know why. The guy runs the ball really hard. He's good in and out of his cuts. He's decisive. He blocks well. Now, I have nothing against Bobby Rainey. I like Bobby Rainey. But if you make me choose one of those guys, if you make me choose one, I'm choosing Mike James. I don't think I have to. I think that Mike James is going to find a way to get into the special teams mix the way Russell Shepard has, because Shepard can't catch a fucking cold, and somehow he's still on the team. And that somehow is special teams. So, if I get past the halfbacks, and we can talk about those guys as much as you want, whether it's about Dougie or whether it's about Sims. Curious to why Dougie came in during summer overweight and out of shape, though. I don't know. I mean, I know there were stories about that. He looks great right now. So whether he was out of shape or not, I don't know. What he weighed in at, I don't know. I do know that these guys go through some pretty extensive nutritional work and conditioning. And I know right now no one looks particularly out of shape. Now, I know some of you guys had asked me in the past about Dominic Brown, number 32. I got a chance to watch him a little bit today, and I wasn't impressed. He plods with the ball. Now, if he's a short yardage guy, and I've heard that the Bucs like him for short yardage, again, if I have to pick short yardage, I'm going to go with Mike James. It's not close. Question from King Brutal is about Tony McDaniel. He is a huge human being. They had him wearing a 59 jersey today, which was really confusing. But I didn't see a lot of pop in there, but I in the trenches, it was hard to see because of the where I was sitting. He is a big man, and the fact that he's played in the Seattle Seahawks system, he's been productive in that system, I think it's a great add. When you look at the depth that we've all of a sudden got at the defensive line, we're starting to build a bit of a crew. Gerald McCoy has continued to look good. Will Golston has been popping, which is nice to see. Even though they're moving him to tackle, he looks fast. He looks healthy. Jacquees Smith. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm horrible. But I can say Joey Iosefa. And I used to be able to say Daniel Teyaneshem, though we don't need to say that anymore. That first step by Smith is phenomenal. He's still a one-move guy, and I want to see that improve. And I'm sure that the team is going to get him to improve. But you start seeing these guys with this speed and the ferocity at the line of at the point of contact, and that's nothing but good for us. You still got Melton, you got Akeem Spence hurt, but we got a lot of depth there at that defensive line. The linebacker crew becomes interesting. That's something I want to spend some more time looking at, both in Jacquees. Again, I think it is Jacquees, to be honest. But you guys remember last season when we picked him up, I love the guy's first step. He's a great edge guy. The problem is if he doesn't get you on that edge, he's done. He's got to be able to think of move two and three. Because once you show that, a coordinator worth his salt is going to adjust to that. So, the linebacker spot, like I said, Lansana had a great day today. He had two picks that I saw. He was in the mix. Levante Dave was in the mix. Obviously, the signing of Levante Dave is a big relaxation sign for Bucks fans. That was great to get McCoy and David locked up as part of the core of this team. But as we move back past the Lansanas, past the Carters, past the Davids of the world, and we'll be paying more attention to them when we're actually tackling. They're doing a lot of focus on those sorts of things, a lot of focus on how to engage your block, how to maintain your run fits. We have to see what these guys look like when they tackle. Haven't seen Quan Pop, but I haven't been looking for him, to be honest. I was really focused on offense in the first two sessions. I'd love to focus on defense as we move forward. I don't have the ability to get over to where the D-line does their drills, which is where I used to get all my intel on those guys. So I'm sorry, guys. This year it'll be a little bit weak on that. We'll have to lean on folks who get a chance to go over there. Maybe Chris from Bucks Brief has some intel on that. I'm not sure if he went in the shoot and went over there today. But, you know, what we do get a chance to see in the 11-on-11 and on Skelly is the defensive backs. And the defensive backs look like they got a little bit of swagger to them. Kurt says that Quan looked like he looked good the first 2 days, which is good. I know that Kurt and a number of other guys were out there for some of the days where I wasn't, when I was in Canton or when I wasn't able to get out there, which is terrific. He did say he disappeared the last two. Steven says he's heard he may push for the middle linebacker spot. I don't know that that's going to happen, but we'll see how things shake out here as guys learn the system. This system is about understanding your role and the role of everyone else in the defense. I think it's very tough for young guys to come in and just assert themselves that way. It can happen, certainly. But I had moved on to the defensive backs. Whether you're talking about Jonathan Banks or Mike Jenkins, whether you're going back to the secondary and looking at a Major Wright or a Swearinger, this secondary is going to have to be able to do their job, and they're going to have to be opportunistic. And what we saw today was they're getting their hands on the ball. Now, some of that is the byproduct of the inaccuracy that we're seeing out of the quarterback position, but some of it is really solid coverage. We got guys that are trying to blanket people, and that's really nice to see. It takes a level of confidence that is hard to have and harder to keep. So what's going to have to happen is in the real fire, if you get beat, you get beat. You know, quarterbacks, they say, have to have good or have to have short-term memory, right? You throw an interception, you come back, you throw again. That's one of the things that Jameis gets a lot of credit for. And to be honest, he should. He absolutely should. Because you don't get paid to not throw the ball. In fact, I was busting Glennon's balls, even though I gave him a lot of credit here early on the show for having the best-looking arm out there right now. In Skelly, which is 7-on-7, he's checking down. There's no fear. You're not going to get hit. It's skills only. Why the fuck are you checking down? The longest pass he threw was 10 yards, and it was the shortest route in the set. It made no sense. Now, Jameis is pushing the ball down the field. Hell, even Lovato is pushing the ball down the field, and Lovato is all velocity and no vector. So when we start to do the analysis of the secondary, you got to see how many times they're in the right position, and what they're doing when they get the opportunity. Major Wright dropped an interception today, and he was pissed. He didn't do the old-school Bucks thing where he started doing push-ups, but he was absolutely livid. You can tell that these guys are starting to breathe it. When you look at a team coached by the Dungy tree, right, whether it's Lovey or whether it's Tomlin or whether it's Herm Edwards, whether it's Raheem Morris, and don't laugh at that, guys, this secondary believes their job is to get turnovers. It's not just to get turnover run downs. It is to take the ball back. That is a mindset. And so I was talking to some of the other guys in the press. The ironic thing today is, while I'm not credentialed, today where we were sitting, we ended up with half of the press tent over in the stands, which was nice. It was good to hear everyone else's opinion about what was going on. But a lot of the guys were talking about how Jenkins, and Banks both talk a lot, and Swearinger talks, and not in a bad way, but when they're on the field, they've got that attitude. You're going to have to beat them. Yeah, I didn't even mention Werner, and Werner looked great today too. So a lot of this stuff is going to come down to health, but right now it looks, at least from the outside looking in, on the defensive side of the ball, some of these guys who've had a couple of years, or you know, this is their second year, in this system, look like it. They feel more comfortable. And with comfort comes speed. Now, we're going to talk about speed. Now, the question about wide receiver came up, and we're going to talk about speed in general. The defense is playing fast. The offense right now, with the exception of the running backs and the offensive line, is not. Our wide receivers are not looking particularly fast. Now, do you need a bunch of 4-2 guys out there? No. Does it help to have speed? Sure, it's always useful. If you're going to run nines, it's great to be able to run past people. We had a guy that ran like a 4-2-4, but he couldn't catch. We've got another guy who can't catch, but he doesn't run a 4-2-4. That's Robert Huron. He still can't catch, guys. What I don't understand is why the receivers all seem to be running at about, I don't know, 5/7 pace. They just don't look fast. Now, they're getting open because the route combinations are good. And it seems as though once they get the ball in their hands, they run faster. It's almost as though you can tell the difference between the guys that are comfortable running routes and the guys who are not. And that's got to get fixed through training camp. Yeah, Kenny Bell. There's end of speed list, right? A pretty damn good receiver in his own right, Terrence Barber, went to my high school, played for the Florida Gators, played with a bunch of teams as well as the Arena League, was a stud in Florida high school football. If you don't know him, look him up in the record books. Came out when Emmett Smith did. Our Auburndale Bloodhounds lost to Emmett Smith's Pensacola Scambia team in the state final. His comment was, while the Bucs don't have enough speed, they can't stretch the field. That's going to be something we have to see. The route combinations will allow, they will absolutely allow us to stretch the field. The routes are there. But for long routes like this, one of a couple things has to happen. You either have to run them really fucking fast, or you have to provide a lot of protection. It's just math. The days of the seven-step drop are almost past us, guys. You've got to be able to get back into a pocket or create some time by moving laterally or stepping up, sliding forward, and then the receiver's got to get to the spot. Now, one thing I will give credit to both of our top quarterbacks, so both Jameis and Mike, both of them look very comfortable looking off safeties right now. That is not something that Mike did well last year. He looks much better this year. Jameis naturally seems to have this ability, which is great. Chris from Bucksbury said he tooted Huron's horn too loud. Listen, he seems like a nice kid. He really does. And he's fast. And I think we all wanted him to be that kind of slot guy. But I think your boy Humphreys is going to be able to overtake him. And that's not saying much. Let's look at wide receiver, actually. While we're looking at wide receiver, I want to talk about tight ends. Our tight end situation is largely the same as it was last year, guys. This is much ado about nothing. From a tight end perspective, ASJ is exactly what ASJ was. He is a very big target with good hands. He does not run particularly quickly, but he's a long strider, so he covers a lot of ground. He provides a very large target area, which is tremendous. All these quarterbacks like to try and drop the ball over the linebacker into the seam. He is very good at that. He still could not block his way out of a paper bag. I am going to be very surprised if we see him lined up in a traditional tight end role very often, because if we do, he's going to get ate up. If you see him in to pass protect, make sure you say your novenas or whatever the prayer is for the quarterback, because he cannot block right now. And I don't know that it's a not want to. There's some physics issues there with the size of his torso. It's going to take some serious work. Other tight ends. Again, we know who these guys are. Luke Stocker is an offensive lineman who can catch. If he stays healthy, he makes the roster. It's not close. He's the only one of his type on this lineup. I know a fan favorite is Tim Wright. Tim Wright did well for us, went off to the Patriots, got a ring. He does not look like the Tim Wright of old. He is not fast enough to be a slot receiver. He's not big and strong enough to be a tight end. And now he doesn't catch the ball well. That is a bad combination for Tim Wright. What that leaves is Brandon Myers and Cameron Brait. And if I have to choose one of those, I'm choosing Brandon Myers simply because he seems to be a gamer and he's the only one of those two who can actually block. Now, that doesn't mean that these things are not going to change, but that was the status of things today. I can tell you that Jameis Winston does show that same propensity he had in college to like looking for his tight end as a check down. Now, what Cutter seems to do is he uses the tight end the way I assume he used Gonzalez. Tight ends are not relegated to simple check downs anymore. They are running all over the field, and they are absolutely a weapon, which is terrific. Because you guys know I love tight ends. Now, on the receiving side, I want to look at these guys and tell you the ones who have stood out a little bit. Vincent Jackson is just a professional. He's out there doing his job. Mike Evans had a very bad day today. Today and yesterday, I've had two practices, so I can only base it on what I saw. I also heard from the guys at Pewter Report and a couple of others that he has not had a good camp catching the ball, Shuck. So it's not just on one day. It's on the 2 days, which are 100% of my training camp because of schedule, and then based on feedback from the other guys in the press. Tim Wright, in my mind, has a tough job because Tim Wright is a tweener. I said that when he was here last time. And I know we had injuries last year, and so they definitely wanted to add depth for the tight end position. But if I've got a tough cut somewhere else where I've got, you know, one extra running back or one extra linebacker who's really talented, and I've got to cut a tight end, or I want to keep a guy on practice squad like a Joey Iosefa, not a tight end, but if I can store someone on practice squad who's got enough talent, who's not a huge drop-off, who I can bring up, then that's what I'd want to do. I see a lot of you guys asking about Renial Hall. These guys, they sort of get lost in the wash, some of these guys. Lewis Murphy has not popped like he did for me last season. That doesn't mean he won't. Just means he has not yet. The guy who disappointed me today, and Chris, I'd love to get your opinion on this, Fish from Bucks Brief Podcast. If you guys don't listen to Bucks Brief Podcast, you're crazy. He's the only other podcast other than Paulowski's podcast that we recommend here at whatthebuck.net. Make sure you check it out. His live shows are Tuesday nights. But Mike Evans did not have a good day today. The receivers in general were dropping the ball. So when the quarterbacks were able to get the ball on the target, they were dropping them. And that is frustrating. Does it have me nervous? No, it doesn't yet. I want to see what happens in a real game. But I do know that you practice these things for a reason. I don't like drops. If a ball touches your hand, your job is to catch it. We've said it for 9 seasons now. So here's the 10th season. The first line on a wide receiver's job description is catch the fucking ball. By all accounts, both of our primary quarterbacks throw a very catchable ball. What's a catchable ball, you may ask? Not excessive velocity when it doesn't need to be there. Good positioning. Jameis does tend to throw the ball high, and I know Kurt is an FSU guy. We'll talk about the tall receivers he's worked with. That tendency to throw the ball high can be great in the end zone because if your guy doesn't get it, no one does. It can be dangerous as shit over the middle of the field, though, because it can lead to tips. I absolutely agree with Chris's comment. There was a lack of effort. There was one in particular where Evans seemed to have alligator arms, and they're light contact. You're not going to get your ribs broken. I don't know if he's hurt or what's going on, but that high delivery, and it was Jameis who threw it, and Evans went and did the whole alligator arm thing. He put his arms up, and it was like, nah, I'm good. So I'm a big Mike Evans guy. I love what Mike Evans did last year. I think he can be a huge threat, and he is a gamer, but this was not his best set of practice, in my opinion. I want to see a lot more out of the quarterbacks and receivers. And I damn sure want to see a lot more out of him and Skelly when there's no real contact out there. When they're throwing on air, they look fine. You guys had asked, who was the guy you guys asked about? Renial Hall. Renial Hall looks great running routes. Humphreys looks good running routes. We have a lot of wasted steps coming in and out of breaks. We got a lot of rocking back before we accelerate off the line. Basic shit our wide receiver coach needs to beat into them. And I think that that'll happen. And Kurt, I hear your point. High passes can be caught, certainly. And if you have a receiver who's not afraid to go up and get them, then that's great. The concern I have is when you do that, it does lend itself towards tips. And we have to be ready to deal with that, you know? And I know that depending on the temperature towards the quarterback, that's either going to be blamed on the quarterback or blamed on the receiver. The reality is it's both their faults. As a coach, I always say if it touches your hands, you should catch it. But there are certainly some exceptions to that rule. Okay. So we've talked receivers, we've talked tight ends, we've talked running backs, we talked offensive line, we talked quarterbacks, we talked defensive line a little bit, and Rook just reported that the Rays are up 7-6, for those of you following baseball. We haven't talked special teams. They brought in some more meat at special teams. I don't think that that's going to do anything. I think Kanan is still leader in the clubhouse, despite the fact that he's paid really well and a lot of people want to see him broomed. Thunderfoot Pat Murray, Chris's favorite player on the team. Maybe not. Is still the leader as well. I was talking the other day. I've not seen him punt this season like I did last year. But if they're looking to find an extra person, that's what I would be doing. People are saying, why are you talking about special teams? Because special teams matter, guys. Not only do they matter from a kicking perspective because we've got to score, but we have to learn how to defend our punt coverage and kick coverage, and that's something that you just don't get a chance to work on very well in practice. The poor special teams guys get like five sessions or five periods. They're the ones who always get squeezed. And those are the things we have to watch during the regular season. Lane discipline, solid tackling, field position control. King Brutal says we're not going to punt this season. Hey, listen, old boy from Stanford or whatever his name, it wasn't from Stanford, the college, but the guy in California, high school coach who never punts and never kicks. He always onside kicks. You guys should definitely Google that. If you haven't Googled the math on this, you football geeks out there, and I know you're out there, whether you're listening live or listening to the podcast, Google coach who never punts and always onside kicks. And the math that he has done for this is absolutely phenomenal. It's good reading for the football geeks. So, with all of that said, we've got Saturday coming up. We get to see the Bucks actually play in a game, which will be nice. We're going to get a chance to watch Jameis in the lights, which will be good. Like I mentioned earlier, when Kurt was on the phone, I do expect to see Jameis play longer than you would normally expect a number one overall draft pick to play. But that's totally fine because I want to see him out there, and I want to see what you guys have seen that are college guys who are used to Jameis under the lights. Rook thinks that Kanan has pictures on Lovey. I don't know. You know, I'm not the anti-Kanan guy. A lot of you guys are big anti-Kanan guys. He didn't have his best season last year, but I know he had some sickness as well. I think we had much bigger problems than Kanan last year. So, all right, folks, I'm going to do some reviews and remind you guys of a couple of things. I want to see if there are any other guys that really popped out. I had some notes from earlier today. Injury-wise, I haven't seen enough of Logan Mankins to know what's going on. I know that TJ Fitenicum had a little bit of a ding up today or going into practice today. I do know that we'll be trying to keep an eye on Tony McDaniel to see what's going on with him, as well as Clint McDonald and Henry Melton. Want to see what's going on. Joey Iosefa, some folks had asked me about Iosefa. I do think that we can hide him on the practice squad. He got some burn towards the end in the two-minute session. And the kid pops he pops heavy in the hole, which is nice. I haven't seen him do much with the ball in his hand or catching the ball out of the backfield. But from a blocking perspective, he looks pretty solid. I just don't think he's better than Javorski Lane. I did see them practice. Here's an interesting piece. From a formations perspective, we're seeing a lot of pro set and I formation out of these guys, which surprises the hell out of me. Those two-back sets are really interesting to me. The other thing that we did see in camp, and you guys will know, especially those of you who have been with me for a while, there are a couple things that I love about offense. One is I love it when you're smart enough to use a crack block from a wide receiver in motion. I love cracking down on a defensive end who's fast, because I think it negates that rush. If you let a decent receiver who knows how to block, and I'm not saying play dirty, but I mean ear hole one of these edge guys who's really starting to fuck with you a lot, that is an incredibly powerful tool. As soon as you make that defensive end look sideways, he slows down. Now, we are running a number of sort of toss sweeps and things like that, and we have run, it's not so much of an end around it, but it is a reverse play that can work if you do that. If you combine a full flow to the opposite side with a crack, and then you pull that tackle outside of the crack, that can be a pretty powerful play because you get a skill guy out there in space with one guy between him and the end zone. The other thing I have seen, and it looks as though it was coached, and if that's true, I'm going to tell my boy Steve White about this. I've seen Bucks backs chipping. This is a story that should be on the front page of the Tampa Tribune if our backs all of a sudden learn how to chip block. We've been begging for it for better than 5 years. Now, I did also see, I think it was Charles Sims who got blown up by Lavonte David today. They have got to make sure that these running backs, every one of them, from Doug Martin to insert final running back on the stack rank, let me see who that would be. I would say Dominic Brown, but that's probably not the bottom of the stack rank. No, it is. Yeah. If you're going to get in there and block, you better damn well block well. All right, goes for it. King Brutal, he does go for it all the time on fourth. He refuses not to. Rook says lots of money for poor results, talking about Kanan. I don't think his results are that poor. It is money, but, again, I just don't think it's that big a deal. People focus on that guy. I don't know why, but it's fine. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. JJ Dakota says, I'm worried Winston starts slow so often we may not see a lot of good things from him Saturday. Well, damn well better. He's got to. Kurt's defending him with the started slow thing, which is nice. Vikings have a damn good defensive line. I'm going to cross my fingers. You know, that's the test you've got to get, Chris. You've got to get that kind of test against a real defensive line. And I honestly think that these guys are road graders. The way Warhop is putting them in practice, I'd expect to see some real hard running out of this team. The best way, well, that's not fair. One of the primary ways you can make sure you help your pass blocking system is to run the ball effectively. If that defensive line is getting pounded on and they know they've got to engage those blockers, they are not going to come off the line with their ears pinned back the way they would otherwise. Who's the best blocking running back we have right now? That's actually a really good question because none of them are particularly good, the halfbacks that we have. I think that probably the best is actually Mike James. I think all of them try hard. They all seem to have decent form. But, you know, Doug's not huge. He's got to make sure his form is perfect. He's got to make a great decision about how to engage a blocker depending on who he is. I think probably the weakest is going to be Sims at this point, and I think it's not because he's not strong, he's not big, and he doesn't want to. I think it's none of those things. I think it's just a matter of understanding. With those positions, with backs picking up those guys coming in, it's, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's being in the right place. You don't have to crush someone if you're that guy. You've got to give an extra second. If you can give me an extra second, then I can complete a pass. And that's really the role these running backs are going to have to play. Now, one of the other things I saw today, which was an excessive amount of practicing of essentially a fullback dive. It's handing off the ball to a fullback, using the fullback as a weapon. What I'm seeing is Dirk Koetter thinks every skill position is a weapon. And I think that's tremendous. And I tweeted this the other day, and I know you guys think I'm all over Javorski Lane's nuts. This guy used to be a halfback. He is very, very good, not only blocking, but with the ball in his hands. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. He is deceptively fast, and he is a fucking load to bring down. We have an offensive line who, when they get out in space, while they're power guys, when they get out in space, they like to run. And we saw some screen passes today that looked very solid. So, while it wasn't the lights-out practice I'd love to see, it was good to see the guys out there hitting. You know, hopefully I'll get out there again tomorrow. If I don't, then we'll rely on Pewter Report and Bucks Brief. I don't know if Chris is going to be out there again tomorrow, but we'll rely on the guys we've got. We do have that party coming up Saturday, so if you're local or flying in, make sure that you're over at the Wing House. It kicks off at 5 o'clock. DJ Technique will be the DJ out there on the pirate ship. Will have Frank McGill, Kareem's new Bucks anthem, which we will debut at the party. Amazing raffle presents, tons of What the Buck swag to pick up and represent if you'd like to. We certainly love seeing it around. And I think that the What the Buck 10 shirts are pretty cool. If you haven't seen those, get out to the What the Buck Facebook page. We've got a picture of them and a little tribute to the people. I'm going to tell the story here, guys. This is the last story, and then I'll let you guys go. I want to thank everyone who's listened to the whole show. Bucks Brief will not be there. Hashtag Fringe Media. Listen, man, fuck all of that. There's a whole bunch of hate right there. Story for multiple beers off air. But Lane is our Tolbert. I think that's a great, great comparison, Kurt. So when we started What the Buck nine full seasons ago, we went to get credentialed, and we were told, listen, blogs are a dime a dozen, podcasts are a dime a dozen. We're going to sit back and we'll see if you guys stick around. So 9 seasons and a whole shitload of pain later, here we are starting season 10 at What the Buck because of folks like you, because of the 3,800 or 4,200, whatever the hell regular listeners are. I got to get better at my stats because I got guys like Fisher out there actually doing stat work. I've become fat, dumb, and happy, he says. I don't really track it as aggressively as I used to. We got a lot of people to listen to the podcast, and they've been listening for 9 seasons. We're not going anywhere. You guys aren't going anywhere. Even though our team has been absolute crap for the better part of a decade and beyond, we're still here. The only people in the building who are there longer than us own the fucking team. Let that sink in. Let that sink in for a few seconds. So, just like us, you Bucks fans out there listening to this podcast will be there longer than the people in the building, supporting that team that we love, doing great things through charitable works, whether they're here or abroad. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Wednesday with another broadcast of WhatTheBuck.net. If we're going to see you Saturday, come find me. We'll have a beer together. We'll watch our Buccaneers play football for real against other teams. And hopefully we'll have a great season. I would play a bumper outro, but I don't have one. So until next week, I am old school, and I am out of here.